In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the last 40 days of our Lenten period, and yet a few times just this week coming up in Holy Week, we had the prayer that we know all so well. O Lord, Master of my life, take from me the spirit of sloth, meddling, lust of power, and idle talk, but give rather the spirit of chastity, humility, patience, and love to thy servant. Yea, O Lord and King, grant me to see my own sins and not to judge my brother, for thou art blessed unto ages of ages. Amen. And we take those words to heart. That is the saving grace of God. That is what moves the world. That attitude. That grace that is expressed in those words of that prayer. I've been reading for the past month now. He was a historian of the mid-20th century, Professor Will Durant. And he wrote a series, and they're big, thick books, on the history of civilization. And I'm reading one right now on the Age of Faith. And in this book, he describes, and I guess I never really pictured the vivid imagery of the conquests that have gone on through the ages, especially he's been describing this. I've been reading from the Roman Empire times up to almost the Middle Ages. But he just describes how this tribe and this tribe of barbarians and this tribe of barbarians would come and they'd sweep in and viciously they would overcome and attack the Roman Empire here or in the eastern part of the Empire. I mean, it's on and on and on. Some of those who were our own relatives, the Goths, who were the Germanic peoples. And they would just come in and they would just take over and conquer and beat and brutally take and pillage and rape and just do everything they can to conquer. It's been the history of humanity over and over and over again. Blood and pillage and rape and just taking and trying to establish power. Lust of power, right from the beginning. We're reminded again this morning as Father was reading that plea from our eminence, from Metropolitan Philip, about what's still going on in the Holy Land, in Syria and Lebanon. Lust of power, the conquering. What a contrast to what we are about to celebrate, that we've begun. As we're going into Jerusalem with the one who is truly king. What did the prophet say of this king? The prophet Zechariah said, behold, your king comes to you riding on an ass, the foal of an ass. He who is meek, he comes in a totally different way to conquer. He comes to conquer something that can't be conquered by just swords and guns and ammunition, and lust of power. He comes to conquer this, the last territory, the territory that only God can conquer for us, the territory of our hearts. And that Lord and God and Savior is going to conquer in a way that is filled with love, is filled with patience, is filled with mercy. I want us to think of these words in two scriptures today as we go about and follow the steps of our loving King as he conquers. And the first words, they come from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. He says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, having one accord, one mind as that of Christ Jesus. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but the interests of others. For let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, a slave, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and has given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Then the words of St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews, describing how the King comes this week in victory. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he, Jesus Christ himself, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, the one behind all the lust for power and the conquerings of men. And he released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Friends in Christ, let us follow the victorious King and his way of conquering this week. And let us join in every battle he does against our sin and against the blows of Satan and against the violence of this world. Let us join our hands and our hearts to him and know that loving Savior walks with us. I'll leave you with one story today. A very powerful story I came across a couple of weeks ago, and it's just been on my brain, showing how the King comes with us, delivers us. It's a story of a man by the name of Dr. Janusz Korczak. Dr. Korczak was a Polish pediatrician during the 1930s, 40s, and he ran an orphanage in Warsaw, Poland. He had many Jewish children in that orphanage. So, of course, when the Nazis overran Poland, you can imagine what happened. The orphanage was put into the famous Warsaw Ghetto. And they were all locked up. However, Dr. Korczak was very well known in the community, and even the Nazis gave him the chance to leave. He said, you can get out. You can leave the ghetto. You don't have to stay here. Dr. Korczak was so devoted to those children. He gave everything for them. He says, no, I will not leave my children. Again, a short time later became that time when the ultimate solution was to take place for those in the ghetto. And they would be put on the train to the camps. One more time, the Germans said to him, Dr. Korczak, get out. No. He knew what was going to happen. So, for the last of his life, he dressed those children. He said to them as they were going to get on the trains, get dressed, children. Look your best. And he prepared them to have an attitude of defiance and victory in the midst of what they were about to face. He knew what they were going to face, that he was going to go with them. And all the way to the camps, he rode with them, and he encouraged them, and he built them up, and he was with them all the days that they were in that camp until the day that he had to die with them. And he won a victory for them. And that, in the most humiliating, that is what Christ has done to the 10,000th degree for us. When Satan has abused us and continues to abuse us and try to defeat us, when the world tries to defeat the church, Christ is King. And his week that we are celebrating, and we will end with on that night when we will sing, see the light, take the light. That shows the victory that is ours in Christ. Let us go forth with him, the King of Glory, this week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.